Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call. Mr. Leonard Lee, please be on call and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM Pacific Technology 2020 first quarter results announcement investor conference call. Before we proceed, I would like to note that during the conference call, there may be certain forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific Technology's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements may involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks, which could cause actual results, performance, and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For your reference, the IR presentation related to our 2020 first quarter results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. W.K. Lee, CEO of ASM Pacific Technology, and Mr. Robin Ng, CFO of ASM Pacific Technology. Our CFO, Robin, who is also our CEO designate, will start with a brief discussion about our 2020 first quarter results, followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand this over to Robin, please.
Thank you, Leonard. Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Despite a challenging quarter with the COVID-19 outbreak, the group managed to register a very strong double-digit percentage year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter growth in bookings. In fact, the bookings for this quarter was the second highest first quarter bookings after the record booking performance in Q1 2018. All three business segments registered double-digit percentage booking growth Q-on-Q and year-on-year. The group started the year with very strong bookings in January. The momentum was disrupted in February due to the COVID-19 outbreak in China. However, bookings in March returned to normal with immaterial amount of order cancellation. The group achieved strong double-digit percentage year-on-year booking growth in Q1 this year, led by customers in China, Taiwan, and Korea. Multiple factors drove the strong booking performance of the group, including the 5G infrastructure build-up, localization of the China semiconductor supply chain, recovery of the optoelectronic market, and the group's strong position in advanced packaging. The group achieved a revenue of $434.2 million, which was at the higher end of the guidance, and a net profit of Hong Kong dollar 25.4 million, which was better than our guidance of a loss for this quarter. Q1 2020 group gross margin at 33.5% was lower year-on-year and Q-on-Q, mainly attributed to the SMT Solutions segment's geographical mix. In terms of end application market, the mobility, communications, and IT segment remains the largest by revenue in Q1 2020, underpinned by the continued momentum in China and 5G infrastructure demand. A surge in demand for general lighting tools drove the optoelectronic segment to register the largest growth both year-on-year and Q-on-Q in percentage terms to form the third largest revenue contributor after the automotive segment, which retained the second spot despite a slowdown of the automotive industry. Since the outbreak of COVID-19, we have taken every effort to protect the safety and health of employees, which is the utmost priority. The group has implemented various measures like work from home arrangement for certain employees and enhanced social distancing measures at our workplace. These prevention control procedures have worked well so far with minimal disruption to operations. Besides focusing on employee safety and business continuity, our focus is also to ensure compliance with local authorities' guidelines and restrictions and helping the community to fight the outbreak as a responsible corporate citizen. As at the date of this announcement, close to 100% of employees in China manufacturing plants have returned back to work. We lost some production capacity during the extended Chinese New Year holiday period and subsequent travel disruptions. The group manufacturing team in China demonstrated great resilience when our plants were reopened after the prolonged shutdown due to the COVID-19 outbreak. The group is also grateful to our suppliers who have supported us We are working towards recovering a big portion of the lost capacity over the next few months through productivity improvement and working overtime. The other two primary production facilities in Malaysia and Singapore are also affected. Malaysia government has imposed a movement control order closing all factories from 18 of March 2020 until 28 April 2020. Our factory, as part of the essential supply chain, has been granted approval to run production with a reduced workforce. On 3rd of April 2020, Singapore government has also announced a set of tighter measures effective from 7 April 2020 until 4th of May 2020. And this, by the way, has been extended to 1st of June based on last night's announcement by the Singapore government, including suspending all non-essential workplace. Our business is classified as a key economic sector and allowed to remain open, but with certain restrictions. While it is inevitable that such restrictions would have an impact on our production capacities and efficiency, we are able to cushion some of this adverse impact because of our diversified manufacturing base. At the start of this year, we have renamed back-end equipment segment to semiconductor solution segment, in short, SEMI, to reflect the contribution by ASM Next for the mid-end deposition tools, as well as the group's transition to an integrated hardware and software solution provider in the semiconductor packaging market. Demand for traditional tools like wire and die bonders and tools for advanced packaging contributed to the strong booking performance for this quarter. China's semiconductor supply chain localization effect, 5G infrastructure, and general lighting demand contributed to the increase in bookings for IC discrete and optoelectronic businesses. On the other hand, we registered relatively weaker than expected orders for CIS tools due to anticipated softness in software in smartphone demand brought about by the COVID-19 outbreak. For Q1 2020, the semi segment contributed to 44.7% of the group's revenue. Revenue from advanced packaging tools continued to be strong, exceeding that of CIS in this quarter. Collectively, both AP, advanced packaging, and CIS contributed close to half of semi segment's billing. Gross margin increased by 202 bps year-on-year and 45 bps Q-on-Q to 41.3%, mainly due to product mix and positive results from a productivity drive in manufacturing activities. This quarter booking of US$88.9 million was a record high, and this is also the fifth consecutive Q-on-Q growth that the materials segment has registered. Traditionally serving as a leading indicator to the semiconductor market, this trend would have overwhelmingly suggested a recovery of the market if not for the current uncertainty introduced by the COVID-19 outbreak. For Q1 2020, billings of the materials segment declined 22.3% Q-on-Q, but expanded slightly 1.3% year-on-year, respectively to US$51.6 million. The prolonged plant shutdown in China limited the delivery performance of the segment. This segment contributed to 11.9% of the group's revenue. Gross margin declined by 188 bps year-on-year due to an increase in cost of precious metal, but improved 7 bps Q-on-Q to 8.5%. Profit for the segment improved by 51.3% year-on-year and 61.4% Q-on-Q in the absence of molded interconnect substrate business, which was discontinued in early 2020. Strong demand for 5G infrastructure and SIP packages contributed to the high booking, similar to the level recorded in the first quarter of 2018 for the SMT solution segment. Billing of the SMT solution segment amounted to US$188.3 million, representing a contraction of 15.1% year-on-year and 23.1% Q-on-Q. SMT solution segment contributed to 43.4% of the group's revenue. Gross margin declined by 214 bps year-on-year and 312 bps Q-on-Q to 32.4%, largely due to volume as well as geographical mix where there were a greater proportion of customers from China with lower margin sales. Segment profit declined by 40.8% year-on-year and 54.6% Q-on-Q. The pickup in demand from Chinese manufacturers to localize their supply chains and the accelerated deployment of 5G infrastructure and the progress of the group in making and capturing new market opportunities such as advanced packaging, silicon photonics, industrial Internet of Things, mini and micro LED solution, power semiconductors and Industry 4.0 solution underpin the group's confidence to deliver long-term sustainable value to our shareholders. Second quarter booking tend to trend higher than the first quarter in the past. However, we have the view that the booking for Q2 2020 will decline double-digit percentage Q&Q due to the adverse impact caused by the unprecedented COVID-19 pandemic. While we continue to experience strong booking momentum for material segments in the month of April to date, demand momentum for traditional tools in the semi segment was not as strong. In terms of billing, we expect the demand for information technology and data center related applications to continue due to increased telecommuting and home-based working activities as a result of COVID-19 containment measures worldwide. However, customers are generally more cautious than before, as evidenced by some push-out of deliveries to Q3 this year. While the group ended Q1 2020 with a high backlog, some orders will take more than one quarter to be fulfilled due to production lead time and revenue recognition policy. In light of the above, we anticipate revenue in Q2 2020 to be in the range of $500 million to $580 million. We also expect the group's gross margin to be in the range of 34.5% to 36.5% for Q2 2020. With that, we'd like to proceed with the Q&A session now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now poll for a question. If you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone touchpad. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 to register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Mr. Donnie Deng from Nomura, Taiwan. Thank you.
Good morning, management. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding to your second quarter booking guidance. So wondering if you can give us some more colors on what business segments may see a booking declining into the second quarter and what are going to perform relatively well into the second quarter. And considering that, do you think that the second quarter booking will be lower than what happened in fourth quarter 2019? And my second question is regarding to the inventory correction risk across the semiconductor supply chain into the second half. Because ASM Pacific provides both equipment for upstream and downstream tech companies, in generally. So I'm just wondering if you can give us some direction or some outlook on whether the upstream customers will see some more conservative outlook into the second half, and on the upper side, the downstream may be turning a little bit better into the second half due to downstream companies or downstream customers have earlier impact from the COVID-19. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'll answer your first question first. So in terms of some color, in terms of our booking guidance for Q2, we are guiding a double-digit Q-on-Q decline. So I think based on just pure simple mathematics, even you take, it could be lower, than Q4. Now, some color, customers in general, indicate that the loading is okay in Q2, but they are uncertain as what can happen in Q3. Basically, we believe they have yet to receive also forecasts from their end customers. Generally, we feel customers start to show concern, you know, due to the pandemic. But at this moment, and also partly to answer your question about Q3, is really, I think at this moment, nobody can really give a very clear picture yet, you know, so far down the road. Now, given this backdrop, you know, we expect customers to start to slow down or even pull back their CapEx expansion program. However, we believe, you know, advanced packaging tool, you know, CapEx will continue because these are, in our opinion, more of a technology buy rather than a capacity buy. Now, you're probably aware, you know, we have a, and looking at the numbers, Q1 booking was a high base, you know, so coming off from a high base, you know, we expect, you know, especially also if you look at our bookings in Q1 materials, we recorded a record booking, you know, and that was a consecutive, you know, 5 quarters of increase. So we expect in terms of segment, materials, you know, momentum may not be able to continue. And SMT also high base in Q1. So was semi, you know, there's a chance that it could be stable or slightly higher. So in terms of semi, a little bit more color, we expect optoelectronics and the advanced packaging momentum to continue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kyna Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Hello, management. I wanted to ask about the backlog and first quarter because I think we can't find the numbers, and this is a first time that we can find it in our press release. And how high is actually the backlog actually hiking the first quarter? And there's a first question. And then we also understand that there's certain push out on the delivery that we're going to into third quarter. And so that what I wanted to ask is, in terms of back to the booking trend, if we should expect that second quarter is like declining, but the third quarter, fourth quarter, the seasonality this year will also change. What would you expect if like the when the customer concern is like stabilizing, I would say change when the COVID-19 like situation is actually stabilizing later this year. I mean, the second question is about we found some we wanted to know about the outlook this year because last time I think given the certain visibility, but now we have already got like 2 quarters booking. And we also expect that you have like communicated with customer on the full year's capacity expectation, etc. What would be the outlook for SM Pacific this year by each segment?
Yeah, Kina, I think let me answer your first question first. The backlog numbers. Sorry, this time around we realized that we did not put the group backlog in the slide. So to give you the number, we ended up with a record backlog of $883 million for quarter one. Now, in terms of your second question, let me get your question right first. You say you're asking about push out of delivery to Q3, and then what kind of booking trend we are looking at, maybe Q3 and Q4. Is that your question, Tina? I suppose so.
Yes.
Let me address some of the push out first. As I mentioned earlier, similarly, we see for billing, we begin to see that customers are a little bit more cautious, you know, already. So they're starting to push out some of the shipment to Q3. So I think that's expected in view of the current climate. Now, in terms of Q3 and Q4, honestly, I mentioned earlier, it's really too far for us to predict, you know, how this will develop because it all depends on how the COVID-19 situation will pan out. Now, looking at the situation right now, you know, in certain countries, like even in Singapore, where I am, you know, the situation is actually getting more serious, you know, so it all depends how this COVID-19 situation pan out. Now, if I may refer you to, I think you guys may have all the data right now. Look at the forecast recently done by IMF. You know, they are projecting that the world economy will actually contract this year, provided that if the COVID-19 situation can be contained, you know, by the end of the first half. So they are projecting a worldwide economic contraction of -3%. So looking at such a forecast, I think we have to be a little bit more conservative and prudent in terms of how we look at the future, in the immediate future, in the next Q3 and Q4. Now, your third question is kind of related, I think. To be honest, we only have 3 weeks of visibility into April. So as we have stated in the announcement, we see materials booking are still very strong, you know, very, very strong. Whereas the traditional tools in the semi segment are not as strong, you know. So that's what we are seeing at this point in time after 3 weeks into the month of April.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Li Ping Huang from CICC. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my question. The first question is about your full year or the second half visibility. So if you look at your customers by geographical distribution, by the different regions, what do you see any difference on the visibility, since you have a very strong first quarter, and then second quarter you have double-digit decline. So, and if you're looking forward, so do you have any difference in the order visibility or the purpose and order on these by region? This is the first question. The second question, I just want to understand more. So why you first quarter is so strong, and but so which is driving the first quarter strong order? Is it because of the technology upgrade, or it's because we were already in the COVID-19 situation, but why the first quarter is so strong? Thank you.
Now, the first question is whether we see any differences or
yes,
you know, in terms of customer by region. Huh? So
by region or by customer types, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, in terms of booking, right? So when you look at the booking, I think the main drivers are still very much intact in terms of booking. So China localization of supply chain, 5G infrastructure, advanced packaging, especially for high performance computing. So those advanced packaging like SIP as well, and also optoelectronics, general lighting in particular. And a little bit, you know, less in terms of photonics, but you know, all these are still driving, you know, we believe, the near-term booking trend. The only thing that we see that buck this trend is really the CIS, you know. So the booking in CIS in Q1 this year declined on a year-on-year basis. So in terms of region, I think so far we don't see any significant deviation so far in the 3 weeks of the booking compared to Q1 this year. Now, your second question is why so strong in Q1? What's really driving the orders? I think I mentioned earlier just now, I think those factors, you know, China, supply chain, 5G, AP, you know, optoelectronics, the underlying drivers boosting out the performance of the booking in Q1. Despite the fact that, you know, we told you that during the February call, January booking was very strong, but however, February came down because of the China situation primarily, you know, China lockdown, and the world are starting to see that the, you know, the crisis may get a bit more serious in February. But however, you know, after February, March booking came back and returned back to kind of normal level. So customers this is what we see, you know, in terms of for Q1.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alpha Lai from Citigroup in Taiwan. Thank you.
Good morning, management. This is Arthur Lai from Citi. First of all, I want to congratulate you have a strong first quarter result, and also you know, demonstrate your the management quality across this virus outbreak crisis. I have one question and one feedback. In your presentation, page 31, you highlight that there is a strong Q1 booking, but deliver over several quarters due to production lead time as well as some delivery push out. Can you elaborate more, like this is from the advanced packaging or this is from the other application? What drives this longer lead time, and is driven by the supply constraint, some component shortage, or is driven by the demand push out? This is my first question. And also I have one feedback. I compared to the previous quarter, I noticed that you changed the category of your revenue. So you changed the name from the backend to the semi solution. And I think this is a very good change. Can you elaborate, you know, in the future, will we see more new, you know, semi-solutions products or service, you know, come into this category? Thank you.
Arthur, to answer your first question first, what are the factors driving the long lead time? You know, so not so much supply chain kind of constraint, more so of the type of equipment. Because certain type of equipment, like for example, our next tools, the silicon photonics tools, for example, they take a longer time, you know, for production to manufacture them and deliver to customer. So this is the usual, so nothing to do with any of the supply chain constraint that you talk about. So, and then in terms of revenue recognition policy, we have talked about this before. Under the new accounting standard, you know, if we deliver a new tool, typically the accounting standard require us, you know, to make sure or to ensure that the customer actually accept our tool before we can book the entire revenue. So we are shipping, you know, constantly shipping new tools to customers. So as a result, some of these tools, although we have already delivered to the customers, we have to wait for customer acceptance before we can recognize the revenue. So this is just accounting kind of treatment. Now, your second question is changing from back end semi. I suppose you probably ask why it changed. We have indicated the reasons in the earlier quarter. I think with the addition, you know, of Next into our business, as you are aware, Next is primarily focusing on the mid-end segment. So once we have Next starting to make material meaningful contribution, I would say, you know, to the revenue base, we felt that it's more appropriate, you know, to rename this to Semi, you know, to reflect the nature of Next business, which is really not the back end business, and also the fact that I think that going forward, you know, the Semi segment, you know, we also make an we also indicate that we you know tying up, you know, with a leading software company, you know, together, you know, to collaborate, you know, together and to offer, you know, IoT software solutions to our customers. So I think with these two factors in the background, we felt it's appropriate, you know, to change or to rename the back-end equipment to Semi. So I think that's the reason.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Bill Liu from UBS. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have three quick ones. One is, you know, I totally appreciate that visibility right now isn't so good. A lot of things are sort of out of your control. But if I look at maybe what you can control in terms of some of the growing areas, can you talk a little bit about, one, the events packaging business, and maybe what how much you expect that to grow this year? Second, if you could talk about also the opto business, maybe specifically mini LED, and what that looks like this year. My second question is on Q2 gross margin. I'm wondering if there are any remaining impact from the supply disruptions in China. And then my last question is on Q2 SMT bookings. It looks like that is down in Q2. Can you talk about the trends maybe in consumer versus auto? Thank you.
Hi, Bill. Your first question is, you're saying that visibility isn't so good. What are the areas that we can control? So your focus is really on advanced packaging expected growth this year, as well as opto and mini LED, right? So I suppose
Correct.
So in terms of advanced packaging, we see advanced packaging momentum continue to be strong, you know, since a couple of quarters ago and moving into Q1. And we also see this trend will continue because, as I said earlier, advanced packaging tools are more for technology buy. So I think customers are preparing also such tools for the future. So this momentum we see will continue. And also the fact that some of these tools actually go into high-performance computing kind of a market. So I think in that particular segment, you probably realize that, you know, that segment is still relatively healthy, you know, compared to, say, the consumer segment, compared to the automotive segment, or even the smartphone segment. So that's the reason why, you know, the AP, we are confident that the AP demand, you know, will continue to be okay compared to the rest of the segment. Now, in terms of opto, this time around, we are seeing the opto demand coming mainly from the general lighting, not so much of the RGB display market. Possibly there could be a reason, you know, with the COVID-19 outbreak, you know, the postponement of the Tokyo Olympics, for example, and, you know, all these RGB display, outdoor displays, probably customers are a little bit more cautious in placing a new CapEx, whereas for general lighting is something that, you know, is a replacement. So I think that makes the difference why the general lighting market we see, you know, is relatively healthy compared to the RGB for the optoelectronics. Now, in terms of mini and micro LED, as we mentioned before, these are still very much at a prototyping space right now. So we will consider this also as a more of a technology buy. So technology buy typically are not so much affected, you know, by situation like this, because customers are preparing, you know, for the future. So they'll continue to purchase advanced packaging tools like those I mentioned before. Now, coming back to your second question, you know, do we see any impact from China on our gross margin? I mentioned earlier, our workforce in China are close to 100% back at work. In fact, we are also pleased to note that since they came back to work after the long shutdown, we also been driving, you know, a lot of productivity improvement, and that's also the reason why you see our semi segment margin perform quite well this quarter vis-a-vis the other quarters. So in short, we don't see any more impact coming from China. However, in the other location, we have manufacturing location in Malaysia. So the lockdown in Malaysia, is still continuing up to the end of this month, 28 April. So that will have some impact on our operation capacity. But however, with the diversified manufacturing base that we have, we are able to manage the situation quite well. So our China plant, you know, are able to take some load, you know, from our Malaysian plant. And for equipment, we also have the luxury of outsourcing more during this period to make up for the lost capacity in Malaysia. So I think on the semi side, we should be able to manage the capacity effect pretty all right, you know, for this particular quarter. Now, of course, when it comes to lead frame materials, a slightly different story, because for materials we can't really outsource. So the impact on material will be relatively a little bit more impactful compared to the semi side. As you're aware, Malaysia is still in a lockdown, so we only, at this moment, probably close to 50% of our workforce are able to go, you know, to work in our plant. You know, so our material segment in terms of the ash lead frame will be slightly impacted because of this lockdown in Malaysia. Now, the third question is on SMT. The GM down. Now, you're absolutely right. We see consumer market, automotive market, and based on those independent research house as well, the smartphone demand for this year will also come down. So that will impact the SMT. However, you know, we see 5G infrastructure demand, as I mentioned earlier, still very strong, and we also see customers also requiring very advanced packaging tools from SMT in terms of SIP packages. So that's the situation in SMT.
Our next question from Angus Lee from HSBC. Thank you.
Hi, management. This is Angus Ling from HSBC. I have a couple of large questions. The first one is you have a very good Q1, and you're getting Q2 to trend up in revenue as well. But you also mentioned that you're going to see some like shipment delivery pushed out maybe later in Q3. So does that mean that your Q3 is going to head up pretty well as well with a possible fit in maybe end of this year? Or do you see any difference compared to my comments here? And the second question is regarding your OPEX. So you have your OPEX pretty well in control in Q1, and I'm wondering if going into Q2 or further into the year, do you see your OPEX to spike up further or to stay at a relatively stable level as we start to see in Q1? And yeah, these are the two questions I have right now. Thanks.
Okay, let me answer your first question first. In terms of a Q3 kind of outlook, now to be sure, to be very clear, when we talk about push up from Q2 to Q3, we are not talking about a significant number at this point in time. You know, of course, relatively speaking, compared to Q1, we see more customers pushing up because they are getting a little bit more cautious. Now, Q3 performance in terms of billing will very much also depend on Q2 booking. So if you have been following us closely, we have been always saying typically we will fulfill, you know, our booking in one quarter typically. So very much depend on how the booking will pan out in Q2 for Q3 performance. However, having said that, this year is really something exceptional. So it depends on how the COVID again 19 outbreak pan out, you know, so that is really an uncertain event that we also cannot control. So if that can be contained fairly quickly, as I mentioned earlier, you know, then perhaps second half may not be too bad, but it all depends how this will pan out in the near future. Now, in terms of OPEX, you're right. I think we have controlled our OPEX pretty well. So on the year-on-year basis, we see, I think, OPEX kind of flat. So excluding some of the acquisition, in fact, the organic or the original semi-business, actually OPEX actually came down slightly. So well controlled in terms of OPEX. Do I answer all your questions?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Sebastian Ho from CLSA Taiwan. Thank you.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Some of my questions have been answered by the previous by you. Just a few follow up. Where do you see the most interest and the highest momentum of the semiconductor segment in the second quarter? Because I remember you say that, relatively speaking, semi seems to be better than material and SMT. And particularly in terms of the, I think you mentioned about advanced packaging. And can you elaborate more about in which application and which region of the advanced packaging you see the most strength? Thanks.
Okay, so I suppose you're referring to booking. So advanced packaging, as I mentioned earlier, we see high-performance computing, you know, devices going into data center. I suppose these are, if you try to triangulate all this, I suppose it's relating to what is happening to the world right now as well, right? I mean, we are telecommuting more, we are working from home more, school children are also having lessons from home. So all this will place a lot of demand in terms of all these devices. So we believe that probably, you know, is part of the reason we see that sector, you know, still relatively resilient, you know, compared to the other sector. Now, in terms of advanced packaging tools, we actually provide a wide range of advanced packaging tools. First and foremost, I think on next, deposition tools are still very strong, you know, still doing very well. So we have a good backlog in terms of the next business. So this momentum will continue for a period of time. And then also SIP packages, we talk a lot also this quarter about SIP packages. We see that also demand going to our SMT. So SIP packages typically devices like RF, MEMS modules, you know, going into smartphones, going into wearables, smart watches, AirPods. So we see the demand in the last few quarters for this are pretty strong. As a result, we see our SMT also shipping, you know, advanced packaging tools, you know, to customers related to those areas. Now, we also mentioned a little bit more color that in this quarter, we see AP and the advanced packaging and the CIS tool making up close to 40% of our semi revenue, 50% of our semi revenue. So this quarter, AP is actually stronger than CIS because CIS has actually declined on a year-on-year basis. So what else is your, did I answer all your questions already?
Yeah, that's very helpful. It's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arthur Chow from Hong Kong. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Regarding the relocation of the lead frame operations in Singapore to Malaysia you announced last quarter, can you give me some detail on how these savings are to be achieved, savings from headcount, you know, rent, etc., and also an update on how these plans have been affected, if at all, by the virus and the government's response, both in Malaysia and in Singapore. Thank you.
Okay, so we mentioned in the last quarter that you know, we have decided to shift our lead frame operation in Singapore to Malaysia. After we have successfully completed the extension to our Malaysian plant. Now, obviously, you can it's quite intuitive, right? I mean, if you look at the living standard of Singapore compared to Malaysia, you know, obviously, you know, the saving is really coming from the headcount, you know, so it's quite obvious. And also in terms of exchange rate, you know, Singapore exchange rate is 1 to 3 in relation ringgit. So obviously there's a great impetus, you know, for us to shift from Singapore to Malaysia, and hence we expect this savings to kick in once you know, this plan, you know, is fully operational. Now, however, because of this outbreak, of course, you know, as I said earlier, Malaysia went into a lockdown situation. So, to a certain extent, that will push back our plan by a couple of months. So once the situation resumes, you know, we will start to pull up the Malaysian plan, and then the we are still targeting, you know, by maybe third quarter of next year, you know, the plan in Malaysia will be fully tooled up and operational.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ng Siu Hong from China Merchant in US. Thank you. Can we move on to the next question? Our next question comes from Chris Yao from Qualcomm. Thank you. Chris Yao, please go ahead with your questions.
Oh, hi, sorry. Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. My first question is on, again, on the Malaysia-Singapore situation. How much, is it just leaf stream being impacted or are there other products being impacted, and how much do they contribute to your overall manufacturing capacity? Number two is on your gross margin, second quarter gross margin. I see your revenue in the second quarter expected to rise about maybe 25-30%, but your gross margin is only going up by about maybe 2 percentage points. I was wondering, what is historically your gross margin trend pretty well with your revenue? So I was wondering if there's any product mix impacted, or are there any more COVID-19 expenses going to be booked in the second quarter? That's why you're being a little bit more conservative in your gross margin. The third question is on advanced packaging. I was wondering if you can disclose how much ASM mix is accounting for your overall revenue, and how much exposure do you have in the data center space? Thank you.
Let me answer your first question. Concerning the Malaysian situation, is it just impacting lead frame or the other segment? Now, the Malaysian plant, in fact, the manufacturing center for all three segments. So we have a material segment there, we have the semi, as well as the SMT. So all three segments are impacted by the lockdown. But however, as I mentioned earlier, for the equipment side, you know, the semi and the SMT, you know, we have pretty much a diversified manufacturing base. So I think that helps. So we could, for example, China could take some load off Malaysia, as well as Munich and Weymouth. For the SMT, they can also take some load off the Malaysian plant during this period. So we are managing quite well. So on the equipment side, also we can outsource, you know, so if there's this avenue to outsource some of these constrained capacity that we are facing in Malaysia to external manufacturing. So equipment side, I think we are able to contain the situation pretty well. The only impact we see is lead frame, because lead frame is something that material is something that we cannot easily outsource. And that's why I mentioned earlier that the lead frame may see some impact in terms of delivery prepared. Because in certain jurisdiction, you know, we still have to pay a tax, you know, when they make money. And if those jurisdictions happen to be a high tax area, we still have to account for the tax. Now, if you look at last year, 2019, the first three quarters tax rate was also on the high side. However, towards the end of quarter four, you know, we tend to true up, you know, our tax, and then overall, you know, our our ETR on a normalized basis for 2019, if I recall correctly, should be 28-29%. So I think in terms of how you guys plan for tax, as I always mentioned, don't plan tax on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Look at tax on a more annual basis. So if we happen, I mean, if our top line, if you look at last year top line, around 2B, you know, so our tax is around 28%. That's the guide that you guys should be taking, you know, as a reference.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kyna Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Hi, Robin, just have a follow-up questions on two things. Right? One is about the gross margin that in second quarter, because actually you reclassify some of the COVID-19 expenses. Does it include extra labor hiring or something? What else if like we go back to the normal standard, like in the COGS or in the OPAS, then how much gross margin will be really impacted in the first quarter? And then the second is about there's other income which is like much higher than historical in the first quarter. So where does it come from? I mean, is this like interest income or something? The third small question is the third question is about the CIS, because like, we see the first quarter is actually come down a bit in terms of like booking, and what kind of like expectation you will have this year, because CIS is actually a multi-year like driver for ASEAN Pacific. Would you see this trend intact this year?
Okay, let me answer your first question first. Now, maybe I can give you a little bit of color how we classify the COVID-19 expenses. Now, if you look at, say, in February, you know, so there was a government-mandated shutdown in China for 3 weeks, you know, for 3 weeks. So we take, because, you see, we still have to incur, you know, the staff salary, you know, while they cannot come back to work, you know, during the prolonged downturn. So we thought that maybe give, you know, the investors and shareholders a more accurate view, you know, of you know, the our finances, we should classify, you know, this cost, this sunk, I would say these are all sunk costs, you know, whether they come to work or not, you know, we still have to pay the salary, and because they cannot come to work due to government shutdown, we classify this as COVID-19 expenses under the other expense line. So typically, you can see now in our announcement, we only classify a few key components, staff salary, some associated depreciation of the tools, the equipment in the factory, some space costs. So the only these three components were actually reclassified, you know, out from the cost of sales line to the COVID-19 line. And the amount we classify out is not that material. It's only about 47 million Hong Kong dollar. For these expenses in Q1, majority are related to China, because China was affected mostly in Q1. A little bit, a smaller proportion coming from Malaysia, because Malaysia lockdown started in the second half of March. So we also had to classify on a like-to-like basis some of the Malaysian similar sunk costs, you know, into the other expenses, but much smaller compared to China, because the base in Malaysia is also much smaller than China. Now, your question is whether this will continue. Yes, for Malaysia, it will continue, because Malaysia is still in a lockdown mode. So as far as there's a lockdown affecting our plan, you know, we will try to reclassify these expenses as accurate as possible, so as to give to facilitate a more like-to-like comparison with the prior quarters. Now, we also incur in terms of COVID-19 expenses. These are not sunk costs. A smaller proportion are additional costs or incremental costs that we have to incur, you know, to protect the well-being of our employees. So we have to, for example, buy more masks, sanitizers, you know, so we incur more expenses cleaning our facilities. We also have to, you know, we also have to arrange additional transportation, you know, for our workers in China, you know, so that they don't take public transport, you know, and get themselves exposed. So all these costs, incremental costs, you know, we also classify as COVID-19 expenses, but this is a smaller portion compared to the earlier one that I mentioned about. Now, as to your second point, other income, basically, other income come from a government grant. So you probably are aware that because of the COVID-19 situation, governments in China, mostly in China, are helping, you know, businesses like us, you know, to defray, you know, some of these fixed costs. So they are granting us some savings in terms of, for example, insurance, you know, retirement funds, you know. So all these are classified as other income, mainly in the financial statement. So when you say other income, they are mainly coming from government grants. Now, the third question is, CIS came down in booking, what is the expectation this year? We started on a low base for CIS. CIS is a business segment, you know, that declined year on year. So it depends on how things pan out in quarter three and going forward. For sure, CIS, to answer your question, is really a multi-year driver. We see that intact, the multi-year trend intact. So could be tempered by this outbreak situation only.
Thank you.
Thank you. And following question comes from Alpha Lai. Thank you.
Hi. I have a quick question. So I want to confirm one thing is that today we mentioned a lot of new growth drivers from the technology buy. Does it imply we can have a better gross margin and pricing? As I understanding the technology migration, actually we have less and less competitor because loss of development is usually the single source and co-developed with our key clients. My understanding is right. Thank you.
Arthur, I can only catch the first part of the question, but let me answer the first part first, then you can repeat the second part. No? So in terms of margin, as we have been saying, generally speaking, we can't be too granular. Generally speaking, advanced packaging tool, by nature of their complexity, you know, so they tend to command a better margin compared to traditional tools. So that will help in terms of a gross margin. Now, Arthur, can you repeat your second question because you kind of muffled, you know, second part.
Yeah, in this advanced packaging project or revenue, are we the like sole source or the single vendor working with clients?
Typically, client may not tell you, to be honest, but typically client would like to also a dual source for advanced packaging tools, but for certain tools, you know, whereby, you know, they are pretty new, you know, so for a period of time, we can certainly be the sole source. So typically that's the situation.
Great, thank you.
Another following question comes from Sebastian Ho from CLSA. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, I have three small follow-ups, if I may. The first one, I just want to clarify that you already mentioned about the second quarter booking may potentially be below 4Q19 level. Is that right?
Sorry, Sebastian?
Yes, can you hear me? My question is on the... my question is that I remember, just to clarify whether if I hear it incorrectly or correctly, that the second quarter this year booking could potentially be below 4Q19 booking level.
No, We don't think so at this point in time. We don't think so at this point in time. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a double-digit decline, but not seeing that going back to 4Q19 level.
We hope so. Yeah, okay. At this point in time, it doesn't suggest.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And my second question, follow-up, is that if you also could follow up on the tax rate. So what you mentioned is that based on the similar revenue scale we see in 2019, then high 30% of the effective tax rate could be the reasonable assumption. Is that the right way to interpret?
Yes, it very much also depends on how the mix pan out at the end of the year. You know, so I would say that if you base just on 2019, that kind of mix, that kind of revenue, you know, and PBT, that will be the kind of ETR we are looking at.
Okay. So the last follow-up from me is, what's your experience in the past downturn when there is a significant economic crisis about customers' order behavior? And I wonder, usually, I think the company mentioned that you already noticed some customers push out from delivery from second to third quarter. And in your past experience, what's the possibility, what's the odds of these push out turns into a cancellation? And what happens if that turns into a cancellation? Do you charge penalty from customers, or do you write off those already prepared inventory?
Okay. WK, maybe you want to step in and maybe answer this question, okay, since he's talking about the part.
Well, I think it's difficult to generalize. In most of the cases in the past, cancellation is not serious. Customer probably will pay for sometimes one quarter. The market situation, the economic situation really deteriorate. Look at it, they may defer it to more than one quarter, but finally they will take delivery. I think most of the cases is like that. But however, as many people have warned that this time the pandemic actually also potentially bring in global recession that has this unforced. I mean, there's in the past, you know, half a century. So how this economic situation will play out, we really don't know. However, as of this point, we talk to customers. Customers generally optimistic as other industry sectors. Probably semiconductor sector generally still expected to be the industry a suffer the least impact, you know. We are cautiously optimistic in a sense. Probably short term or near to short term may have some impact, but I think probably once the economy stabilizes, once the situation stabilizes, probably semiconductor will be the first industry to rebound.
Got it. Okay. Certainly understand. I think the reason I'm asking this, maybe there's still more of hypothetical questions, but I think it's more in texture instruments. The bellwether of the semiconductor industries with like 60, 70 years of experience, I think they are modeled. We're using the assumption that this downturn could be similar to global financial crisis. I know a lot of the people are using that assumption as well. I'm just saying that if that were to be the case, if I look back on your revenue or performance back in 2008 and 2009, from 3Q 2008 to 4Q 2008 and 1Q 2009, the revenue basically declined significantly. I think that's also the case for all the industry, not just for ASM Pacific. So I'm just wondering if that were to be the case, maybe customer. And back then, can you remind us your experience back then? The those push out maybe initially, has it turned into cancellation?
Even back then, actually, most of the orders, finally, the customer took delivery. So, I think the actual cancellation at that point in time, I recall correctly, is still small. They may take some of them may take a few quarters, you know, for the customer to take delivery. But finally, most orders, the customer has taken delivery.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Angus Ling. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my follow-up question. So I have just two. So I think the first one is on your 5G is actually doing good for both semi and SMT. We all know that. And smartphone weakness is actually, we have already seen it being happened for your CIS, especially CIS in your semi solution. I'm wondering if this smartphone weakness is going to impact your SMT segment as well. Do you see assemblers to slow down their SMT procurement or replacement cycle, especially given that those assemblers, they should be able to use SMT tools for 4G phones for their 5G ones as well? And the second one is, you mentioned a lot on China localization being one of the main drivers for you. Can you provide us with some color on maybe China OSAT CapEx trend this year? What does that mean for you guys? Thanks.
On the, I think your first question on the smartphone weakness, whether that will impact SMT. It all depends on really, you know, this year, you know, the end, our customers and customers' demand, you know. I mean, if you base on the research of those independent research, they say the smartphone, the volume will come down, you know. So that means that, you know, I don't think we are also immune, okay. So, of course, it all depends whether, you know, how fast the 5G smartphone will roll out. Because typically 5G smartphones require a higher end, you know, kind of a component. So, and our SMT tools are actually very well suited, you know, for the kind of devices. So it all depends really on the end customer, the ultimate customer's demand, their own business outlook, you know, and that will impact, you know, the supply chain for the smartphone. Now, in terms of China localization, your question is OSAT, right? You're talking about color on China CapEx trend for OSAT this year. Now, I think in Q4, the China OSAT was strong. WK, you can step in if you think you want to supplement. The China OSAT was, the bigger boys in China were more, you know, they were placing, you know, more orders compared to the second tier or the third tier OSATs. However, we see the second tier, third tier OSATs have become a little bit more active in Q1 2020 compared to Q4 last year.
Thank you. Our next question from Simon. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Very quickly for the financial-related question, so could you explain why your gross cash improved by $1 billion quarter-on-quarter, even with the lower profit level? Could you recap your CapEx and dividend target for 2020 versus, could you recap the 2019 CapEx and dividend again to compare the year-on-year trend? By the way, sir, when we look at your IR material, we cannot find any balance sheet items and the cash flow items. So maybe next time it will be great if you can add some balance sheet and cash flow items, if you don't mind, because the cash, yes, you said $3 billion. But we don't know the amount of your total debt. So it will help if we can recap the Q1 and the total debt. Thank you.
I think to answer your last question first, typically Q1, Q3, we don't provide balance sheet details. Only the half year and the full year results, then we provide the balance sheet details. Now, back to your question on cash, you're right. I think our cash has increased. I think one reason is, two reasons I would say. despite the, you know, the outbreak situation in Q1 2020, we see the collections, you know, from you know, are still very healthy. So we also we continue to be very aggressive in terms of collection from a customer. That's one. And secondly, looking at the situation, we want to be very prudent in the way we, you know, manage our cash. So what we did is that we actually drew down some bank facilities, you know, if I recall correctly, to the tune of close to 70, 80 million US dollar, just to bolster our liquidity, you know, and prepare just in case. You know, this is just a just in case scenario, and by the pandemic situation play out worse than we expected, you know, at least, you know, we want to be very sure, you know, that we have enough liquidity, you know. So in fact, we will not touch those, you know, we will lock them aside and lock them aside for contingency use. So correspondingly, you will see when we announce our half-year result, you will see our bank loans also increase, and our interest for the matter, our interest expense will also show a slight increase because we have gone down this loan. Now, dividend, you talk about dividend target for 2020, I think it's too early, you know, to really talk about dividend at this point in time. However, I can assure the shareholders and investors that, we are still fully committed, you know, to meet our policy of a sustainable and gradually increasing policy. Now, in terms of CAPEX, I think we should have one page in the investor slide on CAPEX. So far, I think in view of the situation in Q1, our spend on CAPEX is very, very low, you know. So we are controlling our CAPEX spend very tightly and very prudently in view of the situation. Yeah.
And thank you, sir.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That is star one to register for question. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is star one to register for question. Thank you. Mr. Lennerly, there seems to be no further question at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. I think we've had a very, very good discussion this morning. Many good questions, and also covered a lot of ground. And I think at this point in time, we will conclude our conference call. And thank you again for joining us this time. And please stay safe and healthy in this COVID-19 environment. And we'll talk to you again next time. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes your conference. Thank you.